This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Politics.
Eta, welcome to Wow What a Week, hashtag Politics, Fresh, Botsang, and you. We have another bumper episode for you this week. This week on Politics, Parliament finally gets the Parapara band back together 4 years later. The Section 29 or Section 89 committee finally has a chair and the president has a problem. The ANC says they are vetting mayors like never before while quietly dusting off the same ones it recalled. And Mbalula gives regional secretaries 30 days to pick a side, the party or the payslip. The Madlanga Commission is running out of money and ordinary South Africans are offering to pay it for themselves. What does it even say when citizens crowdfund for their own accountability? And Arto is 4 weeks from rollout, demerits and all the drama. And Bafana Bafana land in Mexico for the World Cup, minus an assistant coach and a team doctor because somebody at SAFA thought visas were just vibes. Botsang Mudimuame Muilwa, what a week.
Yes, Morning Fresh and the viewers and the followers. It has been a bumpy week. Chilly, a bit chilly as well. We are really in June. And it starts wrong this June. But the first week already, we are in coats and warmers and body warmers.
Remo June.
Yeah, but you know, I love winter.
Yes.
It's my favorite. I only don't miss the rain, but I love the winter. I love winter with all my heart.
Nali winter can never be friends.
I know.
And I think Botswana knew what they were talking about when June is named Seetebosigo.
Yeah.
Do not go visiting at night is literally what Botswana named June.
Hey, Fresh, when you're a single man, you want visitors at night in June to keep you warm.
Or the blanket with eyes.
Yes.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Yes, brother man.
Section 89 Impeachment Committee elects a chair. Maghashule Ghana won the chair 19 votes to 12 over UAT's Wonderboy Mahlatsi, nominated by an ANC MP, seconded by the ANC, by the DA, while the EFF, MK, Bossa, Action SA, UDM, ACDP, and ATM backed Mahlatsi, a small party chair but installed by the big two. Is that independence or insurance?
You know, I want to analyze that. I'm now, what's going on in my mind? It's, you've been laughing at me off, and now I'm disturbed because you said Maghashule.
Yes.
So I'm thinking of what we're discussing off, and I'm disturbed. Anyway, first, for me, the election of this chairperson, and I want us not to focus on the person.
Yes.
Because he's well-educated, well-decorated. Amid the fact that he's only 3 years in the National Assembly, but he has served in local government, he has served in the provincial government, and so forth. So I'm not doubting the person. I like the fact that he's a young person, and he has served in various committees of various legislations, you know, from local to national. But for me, this is the one of the signals, depending on how ANC MPs are going to vote and decide on this issue of Section 89 Palapala Saga. The fact that the ANC and the DA use their majority in that committee is a clear sign of what we should expect the outcome for me. It's the sign, like I said, depending on what the ANC MPs are going to decide, and some DA MPs are going to decide on this. I have said it when the Chief Justice Meyer made, you know, the judgment, announced it. I've said the GNU members, it is of their best interest to defend President Ramaphosa. And I will not be surprised that the DA, the Patriotic Alliance, absolutely, Gayton is not mincing words that he is backing President Ramaphosa by all means necessary. And then you have parties like IFP, and when you take the numbers of the ANC, the DA, and you take IFP and what do you call it, and Patriotic Alliance, they've got the numbers to can sway the votes and decision of the committee. But it's work that has just started this week. They already started on a heavy note, where the EFF as well as the ATM have accused even the DA the speaker for actually meeting and engaging with the president lawyers before this, and she's supposed to be neutral. And the defense of the ANC, I listened to the speaker, I listened to the parliamentary legal team, I listened to the ANC chief whip. Actually, somebody was educating me that there's only one chief whip in parliament of the leading party. The others are whips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so the ANC chief whip, Ntuli, they were defending that the ANC has a caucus outside parliament where they've got, it's like an educational group or a meeting group of the NEC or people they've deployed to parliament. They meet outside parliament to brief and debrief. And the DA, EFF, and ATM are seeing that because the speaker gets invited as well. Mm. And the speaker, as we discussed last week, is supposed to be neutral. Mm. So now if he goes to the ANC caucus meeting outside parliament or NEC meeting, not as an NEC, but this caucus that says our deployees to parliament, you must come and meet in the AG office, so engage with the SG office on a regular basis for briefing, for debriefing, and all those things. It's going to be very difficult for the opposition parties to the ANC or any party to see it as the ANC giving directive to the speaker.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be very, how do you manage that? How do you tell a political party that if they have a program to meet once a month with those they've deployed to the National Assembly to say no, but don't call the speaker in when she is primarily deployed there. This is what I discussed last week to say.
So, for instance, I mean, a situation like that surely then would have been unavoidable.
It's unavoidable. Mm. It's unavoidable. But what can they do? They will take.
But in a situation like that, then, I mean, given that it's unavoidable, given that obviously then it leads to what the complaint is right now, what would they have wanted her to do? Not attend or to say, hi, guys, I'm going to attend that thing there?
I think based on, remember this method or style of parliament, we adopted the British system. Ideally, the Speaker of Parliament is supposed to be neutral.
Oh, yes.
Independent, even if you come from a political party. Mm. And I said it last week.
Also, once you're a referee,
yes,
you can't now ref in a match that your hometown is playing in.
Exactly. Okay. Or you are openly known that before you became a referee, you used to play for Kaizer Chiefs. Mm. You love Kaizer Chiefs openly. Now Kaizer Chiefs is playing in Naturena with Orlando Pirates, and you are the referee, appointed referee for that game. And there's no way they can change the speaker. You can't excuse yourself from your duties.
Sure.
In an ideal situation, as I've said, the Speaker of Parliament, it's supposed to be non-partisan.
Was she called in as Speaker or as a member of Parliament?
She was called in as an ANC member who's deployed to Parliament. They have these regular meetings.
But is it a coincidence that she's a Speaker? Or, for instance, was she not the Speaker? Would she have still been called in for the same meeting?
Yes.
So it was unavoidable then, Musa?
It's unavoidable. That's what I'm saying. It's a very difficult one. But I've mentioned the ideal situation. Mm. And Vresh, let's be practical. If you don't call her, who said she can't sit on, let's say, I don't think they all fly to Lutuli House. Mm. You know, if it's hybrid, some are here, some are online. Who said she can sit and keep quiet and listen and take instructions? Or be briefed on their side by the SG or by the chief whip.
Mm.
Who said that cannot happen? But their concern is her being there in that meeting and participating. It actually has a legal implication on the outcome of her duties.
So, would we be in a position to say we want access to the minutes of that meeting?
I think there's a precedent and it's going to lead to that. Because they're denying that she was meeting the lawyers of President Ramaphosa, who obviously they were engaging the party
if it happened. Mm.
And why would the lawyers of President Ramaphosa engage the party? Because he's also the president of the ANC.
Yes.
Because also the lawyers would want to, what do you say to the ANC, what do you call it, that committee for discipline and all that, integrity.
Yes.
Can we engage for our client?
Mm.
Now, if the speaker is a member of the NEC, and part of the engagement. So what this may lead to, it may lead to the Democratic Alliance or ATM or EFF going to court and say, we are demanding the minutes of that meeting where the speaker, because the speaker belongs to us, and I'll forever remember
that. Because I mean, they, and like you're saying, there's a precedent already with
the deployment committee.
Yeah, the deployment committee. Yes. Minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
Where they demanded them, and the court have given the Diego to say, no, if there was deployment of political office bearers and public servants or civil servants, then the ANC must release those minutes too. And you see now they're asking for leave this thing or give us the minutes of the report timelessly. They are not going a year or two after. And the ANC has to be very careful on this one.
On how they answer.
On how they answer to this and what they continue to do. Yes. But I've said it last week. Speaker of Parliament should avoid such engagement. I know he's their member. I know your first loyalty is with the party that you belong to and that has deployed you. But once you ascend to that position, it's the same as the president. Is that with judges, the law is clear. You know, with the Chief Justice cannot be partisan. They can't even wear a T-shirt of a political party or pronounce, even if we know, even if we can pick up, but they can't pronounce of which political party they belong to. It's very clear. The legislation is clear on that. But
if I'm a justice, can my wife at least sleep in a party T-shirt? If I'm an actress.
Which party?
I'm just asking. I'm not fighting.
So that's the challenge that the speaker and the team are faced with. But look, I also don't like the fact that they already said this will not be done in 3 months. Why are they taking so long, Fresh? You know what's good? This is political, let me tell you.
Is it not? And yes, I guess the process is the process.
Yeah.
And you are well within your rights, for instance, like Ramaphosa has done, to challenge the independent panel's report. Mm-hmm. In the Western Cape High Court.
Yes.
So now we're going to have the Section 89 and the Cape Town
High Court.
Yeah. Like how?
The Section 89 report.
Yes.
Is the tool.
Exactly.
That informs the committee.
Exactly.
And I want to agree with EFF and all other parties that are saying the High Court cannot take that tool away from the impeachment committee. They can't.
Yes.
Even if it's challenged, even if the High Court says there's loopholes, that the report is wrong, blah, 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 it does not mean that the impeachment committee cannot go ahead with its work. Even if the High Court, because let me tell you why. Part of the impeachment committee is not to impeach. It's called the impeachment committee, but it's not to impeach President Ramaphosa. It's to go and check the prima facie. Evidence.
Is there ground to move forward?
Is there ground to move forward? So yes. They are also conducting their own, and it's an adjudication administrative process.
Is it not, like, what are we doing? Are we checking the checkers?
Yeah, they have to, because look what happened at the Madlanga. We had allegations or statements made by, and I'm using this as an example, by Lieutenant General Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. And now look at where we are. The Madlanga Commission has become a criminal court, basically. They're digging on things we never expected. It is, the rot is this far.
Sure.
So it is going to say there were allegations we could pick up, ABCD is the Brown Mokotis came, but then we found more things after. And the impeachment committee process is to go and check, what if there's more there?
Yes.
Well, there's many other allegations of, like, abuse of state resources, you know, trading with Forex, misleading or lying to parliament. And those things have absolutely nothing to do with the content of the Section 89 report.
Anyway. Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so if you, the Section 89 report does not pronounce directly that he misled parliament or he lied to parliament. And I think it's a fair due process, fair for us as citizens, fair for the parliament as the Chief Justice or the Constitutional Court has ruled, but it's also fair for President Ramaphosa, for his colleagues, comrades, whoever, members of the GNU, to give him an opportunity to be called in to come and answer, where it is not only three judges sitting there and making an opinion, but it's members of parliament to say, but Mr. President, you came here the other day, you did ABCDE. You've got the VIP protection unit led by what is that guy's name? The general that is leading, is the VIP protection of the president. We deployed that person to your benefit. That person is a member of SAPS, and he was deployed by authorization of parliament. And you abused the powers of the other responsibilities of the, he went beyond the call of duty. So those are things that are very important, and we cannot put a blind eye on them. However, them taking so long, Fresh, let me tell you, it's disturbing politically that the country will go into local government elections. If you calculate July, August, September, October, we are left in 4 months, maybe five, because it's the fourth was this week. We are left with 5 months to go into the elections. Does the ANC want to go into local government elections with pala hanging on their heads? Do they really want to do that? Is it healthy for the democracy in the country that we're going to elections when there's a committee that is talking about impeaching the head of state? Somebody may say it doesn't make a difference because he's not contesting local elections, but he's the president of the republic. We are not on national elections, we are on local. But it's very important. If I was an ANC person, I can tell you I'd be worried that this process may damage the party that is already bleeding and wounded.
In Parliament a couple of days ago, President Ramaphosa dismissed ongoing criticism over Parapara, saying it's just political theatre, electoral posturing and a clamour for attention. He said during the president's budget vote in the National Assembly, he maintained that the country's broader population are focused on economic recovery and job creation, not Parapara.
No, Mr. President, no, it can't be illusionary. This thing happened 4 years ago. For whatever reason that we don't know, the Constitutional Court delayed in making a decision. The Constitutional Court found out, despite the fact that there's a Section 89 report that says there's prima facie evidence that the president must come and answer. They don't say he's guilty. The Constitutional Court said, actually, this week, Fresh.
Yes.
Remember, part of the judgment was that the lawmakers, they must go and review a certain section of the Constitution of the way they conducted themselves. They started doing that job to amend the rules and processes of the of the National Assembly. Now, the president cannot come and say this is just electioneering.
Yeah.
You see the delay of the Concord. If they would have made a decision a year ago or 2 years back, the president will not have an excuse that it's electioneering time. That's what I'm saying. Even this committee to say, at the very first day, the chairperson said, we have agreed that we need more than 3 months. You know, delayed justice, it becomes unfair for both the alleged person who has done wrong and for those who have personal or political or national interest on the matter. So I don't think the Parapara saga is something that the president can just dismiss as politicky. It cannot be. There's a lot at stake. I've said to you before and to the viewers, there are almost five Chapter 9 institutions got involved in this. You know, and when South African Reserve Bank says there's nothing wrong in me trading in Forex, and they don't come and put more, why, how, what about the rules? I'm interested as a citizen. How do we arrive at that point? And so when the banking sector says there's nothing wrong in keeping a certain amount of cash in actually not even a designated location, how can that be the right? Yes, it is private business sale, but he is not an ordinary South African. He's the number one citizen of this country.
Sure.
So it is of public interest.
So he's obviously decided that he's going to challenge the Section 89.
Yes.
And I think it was the EFF who was saying that Section 89 is Parliament's baby.
Yes.
Surely Parliament should also be in the court countering.
We spoke about it last week that actually the person who's supposed to be first respondent.
Yes.
Is the Speaker of Parliament.
Yeah, because...
Or Parliament represented by the Speaker.
Because this is our report, and you're challenging our report.
Exactly.
And because surely as Parliament should be saying we stand by our report.
Yes. Or we are continuing with the order of the Constitutional Court while we are eventually even correcting the process, the wrong process that we have followed. But yeah, this is very challenging for the ANC and for the country. But if I was President Ramaphosa, I wouldn't downplay this process.
Sure.
Because, look, Fresh, I think this is going to impact the ANC very badly and negatively. And if President Ramaphosa and his advisors are not careful, Look, I don't think it's about money and protection and security because he's said to be a billionaire. But I think being impeached, it's a very big thing. We may see for the first time. It's the first time, by the way, the impeachment committee sits since 1996. It has never said, we've never had that situation. But if I was President Ramaphosa, I would not subject myself to that position. If you know that what you have done, it's impeachable. Look, he's a lawyer. He's an attorney. I don't know whether he was admitted or not. He's got legal advisors, both political and personal. I would be sitting and weighing the option to say, is it worth it to challenge and fight this, and at what cost? Personal cost as well, and not cost for legal. You know, cost of to the organization and to me as the person. Where I'm sitting, as an analyst, I think he is more at risk to try and derail and or delay this process.
Sure. Yeah. Let's move on to ANC mayor crisis and Mbalula's directive. Secretary General Mbalula unveiled a centralized vetting framework with the top seven personally interview mayoral candidates, while mayors previously recalled for corruption, maladministration, even criminal convictions are quietly being reconsidered for the same posts. Is this a case of new filter, same water?
Double standard, same WhatsApp group. I spoke to somebody in ANC in Gauteng a few days ago. I said, what's going on here? And look, I think this is what this person said to me. There's a group of people in the ANC, particularly in Gauteng, that says the SG of the ANC is using his office to deal with those that he sees as influential people who may get into his way to rise to the number one office. Because he has made it clear he's going to contest to be the president. And obviously, when does the election of the ANC presidency start? It doesn't start a few months before the elective conference, which is coming in 2027 or 2028. It starts now with local elections because the people from branches and regions are the people you are going to bank on when you campaign for being the leader of the party in late 2027. Now, this person is alleging that that's what he's doing. And it's going to divide the organization further fresh. How do you go and say, remember last week they issued, or 2 weeks back, they issued a statement that they're going to even outsource their political leadership on local government from even non-members of the ANC.
Yes.
Already that it's departing from the culture and the practice that is established of the organization. I don't say it's a bad thing. I'm saying it departs from the norm. Now you come back and you're saying all mayors with criminal records or who have been implicated in maladministration, corruption, and what, they need to be saved. They need to be cleaned out, or they must not even apply. But which tool are you using? Are you using your integrity committee or the same organization? Or are you going to rely on the step-aside rule? Because these cases, many of the people who are implicated, these cases can take 4, 5, 6, 7 years in court. So are you going to say, when people are in court, what are you going to do? But also, are you saying people cannot be rehabilitated? And last week, me and you, we spoke about the issue of the whip of Umkhonto-Sizwe Phatha, who had a criminal record for fraud. And I said, if the person, the criminal record has been expunged in terms of the laws and the practice of the country, you are rehabilitated. And that's why, in defense of Gaitin McKenzie and Kenny Kunene, when they were called Mapantit and so forth, in their defense, I said, but no, guys, we can't do that when these people qualify to be in parliament because they don't have criminal records anymore. It has been expunged. So is the ANC ignoring that objective, or is there the safe? We don't know.
Sure.
But worse is, they come this week in the middle of this whole thing and he gives them ultimatum. What I like about Mbalula these days is the 30 days. Everything is 30 days.
I was going to say, regional secretaries and REC members have 30 days to quit their municipal jobs or quit their party positions. The ANC says these are can no longer be part-time roles. So basically, the party finally admits its kingmakers were marking their own homework, employed by the very councils they deploy people into.
Yes. Oh, fresh. It's too late, bro.
Yeah.
It is too late. Let's use the city of Joburg as an example.
Sure.
They just went into an elective conference a few months back. Remember when Masuku emerged as the chairperson of the region, Joburg region. Now there's a whole REC, Regional Executive Committee. Majority of the people, or some of the people in the REC, they are in employment of government, or they are occupying political positions in government. Masuku is an MMC of finance and a deputy mayor of Joburg. So he's a political office bearer. There may be people in the REC who are civil servants, like advisors in the council, PAs and secretaries. Are you saying all these people must leave their elected positions if they want to continue any salary? Let me tell you the first thing they're going to do. Who wants to lose the salary? Who wants to be broke? You have 30 days. It's like you have 30 days to resign from your job, but are they getting paid? That's another important element. To be an REC member, a secretary of the region or the province, are you paid by the ANC? Like he gets paid as a secretary general. They've got a policy that they've been applying at the top. They are top. Why are they not saying that with the top six? Top seven. The president, the deputy president, the chairperson, they are in government. They're in government. And this is not applicable to them. Why don't they give them ultimatum to say, Ntate Mantaja, you actually have allegations from Bosasa, one. Two, you are a minister. Three, you belong to the Communist Party. Four, you are a chairperson of the organization. So it's okay that Ntate Mantaja can stay there with all these four elements. However, maybe he resigned from the SACP or he chose SACP. But why do you want to put that at this stage, at this critical moment? Why do you want to put such a condition to your regional people who are actually ground forces? Why do you want to rattle your organization that is bleeding and wounded? Why do you want to rattle things now?
So,
and it doesn't make political sense to me why the ANC want to. I would have actually preferred that the leading ANC, when it was ruling, they should have adopted that culture and the practice and put it on the constitution. And what if their own members are going to take them to court to say, the branches and the members in the region, they elected me into this position in terms of the constitution. You can't say I must resign from it. I was democratically elected by the structures of the ANC in terms of the ANC constitution. But the fact that I'm employed somewhere and earning a salary, it was never a problem that you can occupy a political position and then occupy a public office. It was never a problem for the organization. So they may be opening a can of worms for themselves. They may be shooting themselves on the foot, but it doesn't make sense to me. Why are they doing it now? First, we must have a policy guideline. Once we have a policy guideline, apply it across the board. Where there are exceptions and exclusions, be specific with them, or else your own people will take you to court.
Now, Matthews Posa, ANC veteran, warns the ANC lost the intellectuals, replaced merit with populism and patronage, and that politics became the easiest way to make money. So I suppose maybe connect the dots. When the thinkers leave, the tenderpreneurs chair the meeting. The question now, is Mbaxi's cleanup reform or pre-election season cosmetics before November 4?
I don't think it's a reform. Like I said, when you want to put a reform process, you develop a policy.
Sure.
That's informed by facts.
It becomes your Bible.
It becomes your Bible or your guideline.
Sure.
So there's no policy in this instance. You are actually being a cowboy style of managing an organization.
How, I thought we're in the air. If the plane needs to repair the wing, we must repair the wing in the air.
But you must have had a manual to say if you are flying the plane.
I want a manual.
Say,
if the plane hour.
Then this plane is going to fall if there's no manual, because you may start repairing it with blankets and they will fly and blind the pilot.
Mm.
And I think the pilot, who's the edge, is blinded at the moment to try and bring reforms when there's no guidelines or clear strategic reasons why. But the situation is getting worse by the comments of President Motlanthe, President Mbeki, and Mr. Phosa being veterans, who actually, ironically, Mr. Phosa and President Motlanthe are business people. You know, Mr. Motlanthe's or President Motlanthe's spouse is a businesswoman. Now, is Mr. Phosa saying it was good in the yesteryear to can be in the leadership of the, he was the treasurer general, but he's an astute businessman. We all know.
I was going to say, but the very same intellectuals that he's alluding to were still in business.
Yes. Mm. Look, I don't know of anybody that the ANC regarded as an intellectual.
Mm.
And I like to use Mr. Joel Netshitenze, because many people in the ANC, they will tell you he was the brains of the ANC and all that. He's a businessman.
Mm.
You look at the Saki Matsozomas, they occupied political positions.
Also,
then they moved into. Mm. So, what was it right for them to use the ANC as a wagon to go into business? Now they are comfortable there, like Mr. Possum, and saying, but there's no brains there.
Mm.
There's airheads, because that's what he's basically saying. It's not me. There's people who have brains, they've got no integrity, they're just in here to be turned up. When did Mr. Possum come to the light that this has been the practice of the ANC?
Mm.
Many of them are lamenting and complaining that, for example, they used to have political education classes in schools.
Mm.
You understand? And those who are seen to be intellectuals will come and explain the history, the policies, and the intention of the ANC. That stopped. And now they are starting to see the gap and the problems it had created.
Sure.
That those who were popular, influential in societies, and those that could bring numbers, use that opportunity to actually amass wealth in the organization. And I'll use the Northwest province, that a friend of mine who's a radio guy called it, nothing works in Northwest. I wonder if you realize that this week, the service of buses in Hammanskraal and Mabopane, which traditionally they were using buses from the former Northwest.
Yes.
It used to be called Northwest Transport something. Now it's called NHI or something like that. It has gone bankrupt.
Mm.
Guess who are the people who bankrupted it?
Mm.
This guy, Karim, who's at the Madlanga Commission, and Suleiman, who's also, his name has been mentioned, Madlanga Commission. Who are these two gentlemen?
Mm.
One is a treasurer of the ANC in one of the regions of the Northwest. They're in the Madlanga Commission. And now the organization that they took over from the Northwest province is bankrupt and under administration.
Mm.
Who created and caused all that?
Mm.
It is the ANC leaders or their employees. And it was okay when these people were millionaires. If you remember what happened at Madlanga Commission, Baun Mokgotsi and others mentioned on how Karim and Suleiman were funding the ANC, the trips to go to the January 8th, to go to the conference. So when it worked for the organization, it was okay.
Mm.
But now these people have either looted, bankrolled their organization without building the organization. Yes, it is correct what Mr. Phosa is saying. It's factual, actually. That is, some of us who have been on the ground and knowing ANC people and looking at how they operate, we can attest to what he's saying.
Mm.
But at what stage do you say that? And what did you do? Ntate Phosa was twice on the top six. It was top six at the time of the ANC. He was a provincial head, the very first premier of Mpumalanga.
Mm.
What did they do when they had an opportunity to make sure that the education, the mokgabudiso, the discipline of cadres of the ANC had to embark and stick to that? You'd have built and created, you know, a basket full of the defenders of the organization.
Sure.
But they failed in doing that. And I think it's little too late.
Sure.
I'm one of the person who think if the ANC is going to embark on the way they're embarking on trying to reform itself, they're trying to resuscitate a dead horse. And I don't think in the manner they are doing it, it will help. We have seen former liberation movements embarking on the same path and route, and they start being hostile to their own members. You know, once you start fighting with your own members and leaders, now you've got the opposition, you've got alternative political parties mushrooming, you've got your former wife or girlfriend, SACP and COSATU, distancing themselves from you. Now you are only left with those loyal, you know, green, black, and yellow T-shirts, loyal people. Yeah, and now you are going for them as well.
Sure.
As Julius Malema would say, Kurube Eja Banabayon. And when a pig starts eating the piglets, we have choices in the crowd. Sure. But my opinion, I don't think the ANC will win the battle of reform in the manner they are doing it.
Okay. How would you do it differently? You have an opportunity to advise them honestly.
Outsource. Everybody's contaminated. Skeletoniana, people have faction and all that. Get professionals from outside who will come there to earn money. That's what organizations do.
Yeah, but I've been in the struggle for the last 30 years. Why are you going to parachute someone?
You are not parachuting. You are cleaning up the because the sea has failed to in itself.
I'm next in line, Mara.
Oh, fresh. You see, this next in line. Nobody must go to politics to be in line. There are people who have brought the ANC to its knees now. They are the people who some were in exile, some were in prison, some were inside the country and suffered. Even Reverend Chikani has joined this whole thing and started telling the stories of indirectly. Reverend Chikani was telling us how they were corrupted, you know, from the time they came from exile and prison. He's talking now. But he was not only on the leadership of the ANC, he was also a civil servant, a DG in the presidency.
Sure.
They failed to do their part, and the way they are pushing and influencing the current generations of the Mbarulas and the Gigabas, it's not working for them.
Sure.
Even the veterans, look at how the veterans operate. It depends who does wrong. Last week we spoke about the former social development minister, who's implicated in this and the cars and the what?
Tolashe.
Nombula Mukonyane, their deputy SG, has been implicated by a commission in search. What did the Women's League do? Their mom.
What's the problem?
Yeah, it's okay. Leo Lakanda, they are not German citizens.
No, they're still cars.
you see the double standards. They are inflicting wounds to themselves. The veterans, I mean, I look at the veterans, Nuki Sikalala and others. Others are quiet now. What is the gentleman who said a Mbalula who resigned and came back? You look at their conduct in the, you know, Veterans League and the Discipline Committee, whatever, Integrity Committee. They are having double standards. But they are shooting themselves in the foot. They are actually destroying the little that is left.
Sure.
In the organization.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Can we move on to Madlanga Commission funding?
Yes. We want to contribute.
Yeah, so 147 million rand was set aside for Madlanga Commission. 123 million is already spent. And Vincent Mangwenya confirmed the president won't consider extending beyond the 31st of August deadline due to cost, while ordinary South Africans are literally offering to pass the hat around. Regazete.
What is the due date, the deadline?
The 31 August.
Okay, it's 2 months from now. They must come with a final report. When things are mushrooming in the Madlanga Commission, I think it's unfortunate, Fresh. You know, the president, Mr. Vincent Mangwenya, is the presidential spokesperson.
Yes.
So what he says, it's actually the president talking.
Sure.
Now, the same president was in parliament during the course of this week during his budget vote. And he was boasting President Ramaphosa about how some of the work of the SIU and the Hawks and the Madlanga Commission has led to one arrest, two recovery of monies. He mentioned billions that the SIU has recovered. Now, if we think as a nation the Madlanga Commission is doing a good job, and I've got a personal opinion on now about the Madlanga Commission, if we think they've been doing a good job and some of their work indirectly so are showing the results of monies that were stolen being recovered or people facing prosecution, Why wouldn't we apply that Kaga rule that the Mukwanazi is heading that police, the newly established wing, that is using that Kaga regulation to say the currency that has been recovered or the proceeds of crime that have been recovered by the work done by the SIU or Matlanga, let them be used for the Matlanga Commission to finish their job. You understand? If somebody... let me make an example. The guy who was denied bail this week, Sergeant Fanny Nkosi, and somebody else, he was found with over 300,000 cash when he was arrested. Out of what happened in the Matlanga Commission, what happened to that man? Well, it's proceeds of crime.
So you're saying put them into the pot?
Put them into the pot. You have created an act. There's an act now that proceeds of crime will aid this institution that is being led by Lieutenant General Mukwanazi Ntshwane nationally. Do that. But also this important, very important commission that all South Africans, I don't even know one South African that have said, this is the best commission we have ever had. We are seeing the results, and we are seeing it. You know, we are seeing the results as it's running. Why would you want to give it deadlines when you have commissions that spent over a billion like Zondo and took over a year? Yes, I'm one person. I believe in project management. I believe in time frames. We can't be running a commission forever.
Indefinitely, yes.
Yes, but I'm anti Matlanga Commission being funded by private people.
Yes.
It's a very serious problem.
Also, because whoever funds the investigation or the investigator often shapes the investigation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the piper who pays the piper, plays the tune.
Plays the tune, yes.
But I'm also saying, what if I'm a multimillionaire that I have acquired illegally?
You're a funder, now your name appears there.
Now my name, but before my name appears or somebody names me, I go and I find this commission. That's conflict of interest, and I will be in a position to influence. And that's where business buys. Because it's clear of what happened in Matlanga Commission. If you look at the number of people mentioned, majority are not political office bearers for a change.
Yes.
The political office bearers, they were small, fries in that thing. The bigger people is business people.
Sure.
They used policemen and political office bearers, but they are business people. Now we want business people or crowdfunding, maybe every citizen. Apparently we are 65 million. If we donate 1 rand each or the working one, then we'll have 50 million. If it's the working class or those with businesses. I don't think it's correct. I think the president must go to the treasury and with a justice minister, because the Matlanga Commission falls under both the president and the justice minister, and ask for more money if we think. But that must not stop the Matlanga Commission to issue a report of where we are.
Yes.
And the work must be done. I'm starting to think politically. I'm no longer excited about the Matlanga Commission. And I've said it about a month or two ago that, I wish sometimes people could go back to the previous episodes where I predict things to say, you will see towards the end of the job. It has moved from being political interference investigation to investigate more misconduct of police officials as well as criminal activities or corrupt activities of business people. That's where it is at the moment. I've said it about 2 months back to say what towards the election and as the when it goes deeper. Now the Matlanga Commission has actually become a criminal court. If you look at it, it's no longer political interference and Senzo Mtunu being interference. It's no longer there. I don't say that's dead, that's gone. But now it is investigating criminal activities. I looked at their questioning of the current police official, Jacob, who's on the stand this week or was on the stand this week. You will actually think we are in a criminal trial.
Yes.
Somebody may say, but what's wrong with it? There is something very wrong with that. And I've said it many times. Are we saying our criminal justice system is so weak and or corrupted that we'll have to rely on the commissions to do the job of the criminal courts and the criminal justice system? I've warned about this before, If it's working for the country, it's very good. But then why do we still have the criminal courts and the criminal justice system if we have come to a conclusion as a nation that they are not saving their purpose? You know, things are just being pushed aside. I mean, sure. General Mukwanazi made allegations about some judges and magistrates being involved in this thing. Where are they? Where are they? We are now investigating how a police official did not handle the cargo of drugs or cocaine properly and procedurally. Is this the platform to determine that? Or we are in a platform to determine the conduct? Why is this not being handed over to the criminal justice system? Where are the magistrates? Where are the NPA prosecutors that Mukwanazi made allegations to? Well, was it not supposed to be the primary? Like the Mukhotis, I mean, Paul Mukhotis, that guy actually, he's in jail for a stupid thing. He's in prison for a very stupid thing.
And he was denied bail 2 days ago. And one of the reasons is because he gave conflicting addresses or places where he'd be located.
That has nothing to do with what remember, he's in prison or in holding cells for that incident of saying they tried to assassinate him.
Yes,
he staged
his own assassination attempt.
Yes. And look, guys, we are playing marbles there, in my opinion. People have talked of the Big Five. Police people were afraid to sit there to say who are the Big Five. Matlanga Commission used to have evidence in camera. You remember when it started? Those who are afraid to say who are the Big Five, why don't you put them? What happened to the in-camera evidence so that you can call those people in to defend themselves or to explain themselves? Now we have diverted, and I think the Matlanga Commission is doing a great job, but I think it's being weakened, and it may be intentional to weaken it.
Yeah.
Because I still believe very strongly that the allegations of Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi about the capturing of politicians, high-ranking politicians, I believe is the there's a truth to it.
Are you saying we're still playing with small fish?
No, we're playing with small fishes. They themselves, the small fishes, have said there's Big Five. Not one or two, more people have said there's more. Even the guy who testified as the Hawks person, that they took his, you were making a joke on our group about they just took his coffee machine. He says, no, there's somebody very big who was involved in that cocaine bust, and that person is in government in a very senior position. He's afraid to talk. He simply says to us, I can't tell. Now, Fresh, do we have policemen who are afraid to tell about their job? What does it say to us as a nation? A whole police brigadier or captain or colonel sits there and say, I can't talk. I know who it is. I know what's behind the stealing of these drugs. I know I have evidence, but I can't tell. I'm scared to tell. What where are we as a nation? When a colonel in the police says, I know, but I'm scared to tell, who's going to tell? That's what I'm saying. The Matlanga Commission has been weakened. Understand? And they can't jail people. They can make recommendations. And what if the recommendations comes out and say to the one who's supposed to accept or approve them, your name is implicated or your name is coming again. What I think Matlanga Commission is doing good, the net is closing up on these people. And I suspect that it's closing up on many political office bearers and from various political parties, because it's closing up on them. They think, let's stop this thing. We don't have money. Let's deal with the report and jail a few. Look, in the next week, or maybe even this weekend, I expect one or two very senior police officials to be arrested. And guess what? They'll be arrested. The case will take 5-6 years. There are criminal elements within the police and the justice criminal system. They will know how to play the game. Some have been bad luck. They're denied bail, like Fanny Nkosi and others, but it's bad, my brother. It's bad.
And while we're at it, I don't know, maybe if Game are listening or any other place that sells coffee machines, Warrant Officer Carl Sander,
yes,
had his coffee machine stolen. He was even polygraphed about the theft of his own coffee machine.
Yeah.
He just wants his coffee. Butsang won't coffee, no, because he understands
the
role that coffee plays in discharging of duties.
Why did they steal that man's coffee machine?
Isn't it at the same police station where the drugs were taken? I'm not sure.
Or was it a normal theft?
Or where he was given an office desk because they felt that he was stepping on toes. Or he feels they felt he was stepping on toes. But he said out of the law for office.
People must be very careful of this. Probably they were going to poison the coffee machine.
No, I'm sure he'll defend his coffee machine. Well, one of the way John Wick killed people over a dog.
Over a dog.
Yeah. Warrant Officer Carl Sander what's a coffee machine. That's all.
I flesh.
And how did the coffee, the chicory extract, what's a coffee machine?
Like me, what's the coffee machine with ground coffee?
Absolutely. Oh. We're going to move on to Arto.
Yes, sir.
Arto, she is coming. The RTIA's annual performance plan confirms the national rollout starts on the 1st of July. When we start on Kaya FM. 69 metros and municipalities with phase three around October, targeting 151 more. Other delays since 2021. Your fines are about to go digital.
Yes.
And follow you everywhere you go.
Yeah, you know, I'll be doing this. Actually, my employer, the Department of Transport, will benefit from this because now I'm going to talk about it. But look, why is this important? People have made politics about it to say the government is adding more burden, is threatening people, and by bringing Arto in. One fresh Arto, the act, has been there, I think, for the last 10 years, if not more. Mm. It was passed in Parliament. It's now in for amendment already. The agency, the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, was established years back to roll out Arto. It was the first phase was to test it in Tshwane and Joburg, working with the Metro Police for the fines. The second phase, it's now that starting on the 1st of July to add 60 more municipalities.
Sure.
And then the third phase is to be in October when they will be adding almost all 150, 160 municipalities in the country. And then the fourth phase of Arto is when they will be bringing in the demerit system, which I think it will take a year or two to arrive there.
And often people ask about the demerit system.
Yes, yeah, that's too far. That's very far. It's not now. But let me explain this. I think this process, it's good for us as motorists. And I'll explain why. Mm. At a moment, you get fines issued by Tshwane, by Gariep in the Northern Cape, by KwaZulu-Natal and Joburg. And we know, as a driver, we always say, I won't pay the one in Cape Town because I won't go to Cape Town again driving. Mm. And the government did not have a system of revenue collection that's centralized. So this is partially centralizing revenue collection. But also, fresh with this modern day technology, what I appreciate with Arto, and I've benefited from it. I've once, 2-3 years back, checked my fines. Some I didn't know about them. Some I never received them, except the fact that they've got. I proved to Artia that you've got my correct email address, you've got my postal address and my physical address. Mm. I never received those fines. I made representations and those tickets were removed, or what we call tickets, it's infringements. Mm. That's the first part, that at the comfort of your office or your house, you can do and clear off these fines from your phone or your laptop. You don't have to go to an office and all that. That's one part. The other element is for those, and congratulations and hands up or thumbs up for RTIA, the agency. They have already established over 50 offices. Some are in metros or municipalities.
Sure.
They didn't reinvent the wheel to say, we are here to help. The South African judiciary in 2022, they passed a legislation that except in criminal cases, on all civil matters, people must try arbitration first.
Mm.
And the Arto, it's actually arbitration and adjudication. First, before you go to court, before you are arrested, let's try and engage. So it is actually to the benefit of the motorists before we even arrive at what you call that thing, the demerit system.
Yes.
But what is happening is also is bringing two elements. to your fines, what we call tickets, traffic fines. There's two types. One, it's an infringement, which is an administrative thing. You didn't put on your safety belt. You were driving 70 on a 60 zone. You had the child without a car seat and all those, you know, administrative infringement. Then the second one, that's why they call them infringement. And Arato is administering and handling that. But when you commit a crime, which is becomes a criminal offense, like drinking driving, excessive overspeeding, reckless driving, where you endanger the lives of people, it is still going to be handled in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. You will still go to be arrested and go to court. Mm. And this is a good thing, actually. Can they differentiate us that both are parked at a no parking zone? We have lifted his vehicle or we gave him a fine. And there's beauty to it as well. Immediately when you admit your infringement, you've got 32 days to pay 50% of the fine. 32 days automatically to say, I know I'm wrong. I'm going to pay my 50% discount and pay. If you don't want to, you can make representations to Artia and say, no, man, I was not driving that car. It was not me. It was my wife or my son. Then you must go and motivate. You fill the forms online and say, you know why it's important to that Arto is bringing that element. Né? Imagine if your main duty is a driver at work, whether as an ER or a taxi driver, or you're a driver in a company, and you are demerited to the 15 points, and now you can't perform your duties for crimes that were committed by who? Either someone your knows. Child, yes. Or your spouse, or your driver. It's giving an opportunity to say to that, I was not driving on the day. It was not me. And here's evidence. And they listen to you. They've appointed lawyers and specialists who are not working for Artia, who are sitting outside to look at this application.
So
it's going to be a lot of work for the state. It's going to be a lot of work for Artia, but it is to the benefit of the people. And also their intention is to say they want to identify habitual offenders in order to fight this road fatalities. You know, if somebody was found driving 220 kilometers per hour and he's just giving a fine and he's out on the street, the person will do it again because if he's got money and a Ferrari, now because of the demerit system that will be introduced later, they think it will deter people.
It will change behavior. In fact, how the demerit system is going to work, everyone starts on 0 points, rack up to 15 points, and your license is suspended for 3 months, three suspensions, and then it's cancelled. Though the demerit system itself still has no confirmed launch date, in the performance plan, the teeth are gazetted. We're just waiting for the bite to be confirmed. And unfortunately, systems like this are perfect for what they're intended for.
Yes.
But without enforcement, then they don't really become worth the paper they're written on.
Exactly.
So I think enforcement is going to be very important. I think zero tolerance is going to be very important. I remember I did a couple of gigs in the UK around 2008 or 2009. And the promoter I was with was using taxis. The previous time he booked me, he had his own car.
Yes.
Asked him, where's your car? He's like, no, my license has been suspended.
Suspended, yeah.
And he made it very clear that if your license is suspended,
You don't take chances.
You don't take chances because, and unfortunately because he's black, often you are racially profiled already. So the chances of being stopped are much higher than not. But he was saying that in certain countries, if your license is cancelled, you don't drive.
Let me tell you the beauty of the Arto demerit system when it comes, how it's going to effectively help offenders as well as the state. It is going to be centralized on the e-notice.
Oh, yes.
So if you think you are on demerit and you will drive and all that without a license. If you run away on the license or you lie, when the cops stop you to say, I forgot my license, what? If they put the details on the e-notice, it will link your disc, your license to your ID. So at the moment, we know in Joburg and Tshwane, we've experienced it.
I've experienced it already.
Me too.
Where I needed to renew a disc.
Yeah.
And then it's enforcement. And it says to me, no, you need to clear these two enforcements first.
Yeah.
So it blocks everything. Until you clear whatever you need to clear.
Yes.
Or you pay, and maybe you have a second car that has not had a disc renewed.
Yes.
Until you clear that. Then it blocks everything else.
Exactly.
So as long as the systems talk to one another, eventually you're squeezed into a corner.
Exactly. You're squeezed.
Where you can't operate.
Exactly. So if you have a fleet of vehicles, they are all discs are expiring at the same time.
Mm.
Now imagine if you're a businessman, you've got a truck that's running business, and you've got your private car, and your wife's car all registered under the same person, and then you've got your own vehicle, and you can't use all four because of your traffic offenses. But there's also another beauty in the demerit system. I don't think it's punitive. I think it's a good one. It's still nice.
Mm.
The offenses, it will be like, depending on it, 1 point or 3 points, keep on going. When you arrive at 12, for example, because 15 is the suspension, they say, you can even go for voluntary, what you call it, rehab.
Mm.
You don't have to wait for 15. At 12, when you realize, or even at 9 or 8, I've been misbehaving, you can ask for voluntary rehabilitation. And they will allow you, they won't stop you. But also, when you self-rehabilitate, like I used to be a very fast driver, Fresh. I used to drive. Look, after living in Germany, I had to go through a rehab to drive at home because it was not normal for me to drive 120 kilometers on the road when I've been driving over 200. So I went through a lot of suffering. Mm. It was very difficult. When I started realizing the danger to my life, the unsafe on our roads, the rocks, the potholes. So I self-rehabilitated myself.
Mm.
When you do that, your demerit system starts reversing. So, for example, if you have 6 points and for 3 months you don't get an offense, they minus 1 point.
Oh, yes.
Now you are at 5.
So you get rewarded for driving.
You get rewarded for being a good, for change behavior.
Yes.
And I think if RTA can communicate this very well to motorists in the country, it will be well received.
And I mean, a similar system is what Discovery Insure use.
Used to do, yes.
They still use it. So you might lose points for not driving nicely, but you also get rewarded for driving
for driving properly,
for not braking abruptly, for not speeding, for no erratic lane changes.
Yes,
you get rewarded for all of that, and I think behavioralists will tell you that ultimately systems like that do work because you can IE.
And I think also what RTA, Road Traffic Infringement Agency, what they can do, because if they're going to put this in newspapers and normal news, it's not the majority of them. But they can use platforms like Youth Days. They can use platform like insurance companies collaborate with them for change behavior. They must use podcasts to come and communicate their plans. Because right now, Fresh, I can tell you, more and more people are watching podcasts than the normal mainstream media.
Mm.
And you need the buy-in and to win the hearts of people to support any new law or new practice coming in.
Mm.
And if they can do that, I think the RTA process will be very welcome by the nation.
Sure.
But yeah. I feel like I'm at work. I've just done the work for them for firing me, but it's okay.
Like we're saying, though, the system does work because as long as the left hand and the right hand know exactly what each hand is doing, eventually you don't have a choice but to start doing the right thing.
Exactly.
So, all the best to the boys and girls in blue.
Thanks, bud.
Yes, sir. Let's wrap up with Bafana Bafana's visa fiasco on the way to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
The home of the singing cockroach, la cucaracha, la cucaracha, la 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 la. So, SAFA confirmed the squad could travel this past Sunday. As planned, our visa challenges for players and officials, all 26 players were eventually cleared, but assistant coach Mkelele was left behind, with Minister McKenzie confirming the team doctor, head of security, and an analyst were also waiting clearance. Now, the World Cup opener against the hosts and the bench is missing its brains and its medic.
Mm.
But we've been told that everything was eventually resolved. What I don't understand, though, with administrative bungles at this level is how. Because a person that is qualified in managing situations like this knows better. You've known long enough what needs to happen.
Exactly.
You should even have a checklist. Does everyone have a visa? But outside of that, I'm also going to even go as far as saying, even with the yellow card situation against Lesotho,
yes.
At some stage, Liwena.
The person.
Liwena as the person. You should be saying, I know I'm traveling to a place that needs a visa. Mm. Or I know I've got two yellow cards.
Yeah.
So surely I shouldn't be playing. It's all good to blame administrators. But
it's different, Fresh.
No. At some stage, Liwena, as a person that is a professional at this.
Yes.
You know better, Moose.
Okay. But with the visas, it's different. With the yellow card, I agree with you. The responsibility is not only with the team manager or the coach, but you also have a responsibility as a professional.
Yeah, because you know your infringements.
We had another one last week. You were talking about the Lesotho.
Mm.
We fielded 12 players in a friendly game with Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
We fielded 12 players. Guess who picked that up?
Mm.
A sport analyst after the game.
Hmm.
That at some stage we had 12 people on the ground. And that happened on the 67th minute when they were substituting two players, two in, two out. But two went in, one went out. The coach and the player and the, what do you call it, assistant referees, the fourth official, when he's picking up that board. Now, coming to visas, I will not put the blame on the player. A selected player because it's not their duty. They probably don't even know how to apply for a visa. But if the organization, you know you are traveling, you have submitted your passport to the organization because there's nowhere where they say one player did not have a passport or Mkelele, the assistant coach, did not have a deal. No. They have been denied visas by the U.S.
Yes.
Now, an organization like SAFA, or Bafana in this instance, traveling is a lot, especially international in that organization. There is no way you will run an organization in the magnitude of SAFA and you don't have a travel office when you travel a lot.
Mm.
You know, in your duty, for example, as a DJ, you travel a lot.
Mm.
I want to sit here and assume that Kelet or whoever is in your office, who knows where you should be, has that schedule and a table. They should have known. We knew who are the 32 players. Over 3 months, 4 months ago.
Mm.
Why didn't we apply for all of them at that time, even if they would not travel timeously? Firstly, and also look at option. One guy asked me, I said, I'm not taking the excuse that the Americans had denied Helmut Mkelele and the doctor the visas. Somebody said, but yeah, probably you need an American visa to go into Mexico. No, Fresh. Yes, maybe there's that arrangement because America wants to control Mexico. But if America is giving you problems, there's options. Let me tell you, when we were in 2019, I led the team to do a border management study in Mexico, the USA, and Canada. As a team leader, America denied me visa. I quickly said to my office, let me fly via another country. I did not have to fly via the US. I did not have to postpone the trip. But so I flew to France. Then I flew to Mexico from France. I still did my work. I went into the US with the Mexican officials, not with a visa, because we end up at the border by road.
Yes.
The work was done. I moved from Mexico to Canada. The same thing happens with the Canadian authorities under them. Took the road and we drove with the team to the U.S. because we had to end in the border. I didn't have to enter the U.S. But I'm saying the officials at SAFA, the travel office or the travel agent, whoever they are using, should have known timeously that in case we experience this challenge.
Scenario planning.
Yes.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why the Americans will deny a whole doctor or medical officer and Helmut Mkelele visas. I don't understand.
It could be for anything. It could be because they've looked at your social media and you didn't have nice things to say about Trump, America, or Israel. It could be for any reason, really.
You know, if the Americans can deny me or you a visa or other people who are vocal about their corner, that's fine. It's the position they've taken.
Sure.
But I think SAFA must start to get it it acts in order. I think it's incompetence, it's laziness, and it's not acceptable.
And often we're told that, yeah, heads will roll, but heads never roll.
Gated McKenzie has been saying heads will roll since that yellow card, since he came into office. And he comes back and defend after and explain.
No, but also you need to remember that politically he's not allowed to interfere.
Yes.
Because he's a member of the government.
Oh, yes, yes.
You see,
yes.
So it's a slippery slope for him to publicly demand answers like that.
You know, from what he said to me, SAFA is an independent body with a board, an executive, and therefore political office bearers cannot interfere with that. I disagree with that statement.
Yeah.
They can. It depends on the level of the wrongdoing.
Sure.
If SAFA receives support from the Department of Arts, Sports and Culture, and this is a national team, when the box, even if the rugby team is going to play abroad and they are sponsored more by the private sector, not by government, but they are representing the flag of the country. So there will be political interference. That's why the ministry or the department can dissolve both. They've done it with Athletic South Africa. They've done it with boxing. So we must not think the rugby or cricket as well as soccer, because they are the big sporting, they cannot be interfered. And I think at some stage, the government intervened. And I must not use the word interfere. The government intervened in affairs of not only Athletic South Africa, but also of the cricket South Africa when there were crises. So we must treat all the sporting codes the same way, in the same uniform. Yes, the interference of Minister McKenzie cannot be reckless and loose. It cannot be. But when there's crisis and crisis over and over, then as the relevant department, you must start questioning the competency of the board and the executive.
But also then, there's also the challenge of, as soccer-loving public, how is it that you can hold SAFA accountable and put pressure on them to start actually doing things that are in the interest of soccer, not just personal vendettas, personal gain, or whatever your personal mission is in your position? Because at some stage, something's got to give. It can't be that you're dealing with bungling of issues all the time.
And the something's got to give. Starting on Thursday, ironically, we are the first, we are in the opening game. And we still have to deal with those things. They can even disturb the players psychologically. Now there's a case by FIFA, because this was an international friendly with Nicaragua. What is FIFA going to find? Talk points? What if goals were scored? It may disturb the players psychologically.
Yeah.
And we wonder when our football players are not conducting or performing at the level they're supposed to.
Sure.
Because it's all this administrative, unnecessary administrative problems. And for me, this is very political, because those players and the team and everybody who went there, they are there carrying the flag of the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think SAFA must get its house in order, man.
But we've been saying that for how many years, though? Anyway, we're out of time.
Yes.
I'm looking at a post here by Clement Manyatela, advocate Dalimpofu, who tells me that President Ramaphosa's Parapara review application will be heard on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of September 2026. So that's literally 2 months before the local government elections.
It's far pressure.
And obviously, this is almost, I'm not going to say it feels very Stalingrad-y, but the local government elections are going to come and go with this thing still in the air.
You think so? Now, if they've set the dates for 3 days, the court, they will make pronouncement. If it's the first days of September, by end of September, the court must have made
it. But would the committee have still been operating?
The committee will not stop, because the only thing that can interfere, and not even stop, interfere with the committee's work, is if there's a court order that says that report you are using as a tool. Remember the beginning of the show, I said it's a tool. That tool you are using, it's invalid or whatever. I'm one of the people, I want to bet that the court is not going to come and say so. The danger of going into the election with this, but you see, again, that's where what you call ethics come in. If President Ramaphosa believes very strongly that this thing is very important, he needs to clear his name, and I support him when he's exercising his judicial rights. Why is President Ramaphosa not taking this thing on urgent basis?
Yes.
Why is he not doing that? You know, I may not be the right person to be questioning the president, but we have seen in many cases, he took the CR 17 files on urgent basis to court. Even when he went to court the last time regarding this Palapala report, he went on urgent basis until while he was still waiting for that parliament cleared him, and then he withdrew. Why is the president, if he thinks this is important for him, if he thinks this is important for the country, why is he not taking this matter on urgent basis? Make an urgent application, let the court sit next week, and let's see about this whole thing. Now, why are you putting a normal court roll? I'm not surprised it's in September. Because of we know what's happening in courts, you know, to get a date, it takes long, but take it on urgent basis, Mr. President. Take it on urgent basis. We want to get this thing over. We want the president to focus on his work, leading the country, and I think for his own sanity and, you know, clearing his name. But this is a clear sign to me that there is no urgency and interest in completing this thing timeously. It's no agency.
What can we do?
Yeah. Thank you, Fresh. I must not touch the mic, Trevor. You know, my hands, I keep on wanting to touch. I think one day he's going to tie my hands.
Where do you find you on social media, sir?
Yes, Fresh. Let's continue with this on botsangm at gmail.com or at botsangm on all social media handles.
Yes, sir.
And then on WhatsApp, which I prefer, +27838847787. Because WhatsApp is always here. You know, Keleto was shouting at me, saying, you don't use and check your social media.
Sure.
But I've been busy. I will start doing it.
Oh, you're very busy, man. You're booked. You're busy. You're going into local government politics.
Yeah.
You've just made it into the Randfontein Hall of Fame. And it's an incredible book, the Randfontein Hall of Fame.
It's actually, I was saying to the author, Truman Seshoka, and the organizers,
yes,
we should take, this thing is bigger than what I thought. I thought it's about 10, 20 people. It's over 100 people here.
Yes, all from Randfontein.
All from Randfontein who have made, you know, breakthroughs across the world. And I said to them, let's work on this and fall in and make this a docu-series, a documentary, where somebody talks to it. Because I can tell you, of the 100 people who are here, I've known personally about 10, 12 of them. I know others. I knew there was something in this. I've read history about the Stan Mutualis. 70% of them, never heard of them.
Yes.
Never. And these are people I grew up with or under or after me, and I never knew about them.
You had no idea they were homeboys and homegirls.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You understand? I mean, the current reigning African woman footballer, multiple award winner, is sitting somewhere in the Scandinavia. It's my home girl.
So,
how many of the people in Mutlake know that we've got?
Mama Doli Ratebe is your home.
Haibu. Guess I only knew last week that Mama Doli Ratebe is from Mutlake in Randfontein.
Yes, sir.
And this is a very beautiful history that I think Truman Seshoka has done very well. And again, Fresh, I feel very honored. And yeah.
Great stuff.
To be amongst the many. People must check on my social media. I'll give details where they can get this book. I shall
buy a copy myself. Don't get me a copy, please.
I don't have. We'll support Truman. And this man has done this without government support to document the history of Mutlake and Randfontein and Toekomstrees, the people who have come out of there with his own money. No support from anybody, nothing.
But I'm sure they were very quick to be at the launch this week.
And give speeches.
Yeah.
Knowing me, I read them a riot.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to, because I had to do the vote of thanks.
Sure.
A keynote address on behalf of one of the leaders and my former school teacher, Pule Khanyan, who couldn't make it. So they asked me to do it. And MMCs were there, MPs, talking big. And I'm like, but what did you do?
Exactly.
What did you do?
They're very quick to be at the airport to say our child has won. But when the child needed nutrition and
support,
training facilities to get to that level, no one was available. No one received calls. And no one responded to emails and proposals. No one even cared. Half the time, no one even knew you traveled. Exactly. Until you win and you're on a headline. All of a sudden,
they claim you.
All of a sudden, you're at Or Tambo as our child. It's actually unfortunate.
I'm just said with Truman, and I told him he put me under, because he categorized them. Sports, he put football, boxing, da-da-da. And then the academia, religion, what, you know, entertainment. And he put me under politics.
Yeah,
really. I was never a politician.
You're never a politician, but you are within our body politic, you see.
Nah, I should have put me somewhere.
We can't ignore that. Anyway. And there's no Pan-Africanist or Buddhist segment, you see. So
yeah,
he might have put you under there.
Anyway,
but we're out of time. Thank you so much
for your time. Thank you very much, Fresh. And thanks to the viewers, the followers, and the listeners.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Wow, What a Week. Hashtag Politrix, coming to you from Discover TV. Let them be your stage. Discover TV is in Four West Johannesburg. Book them and try them, and you will not be sorry. A big thank you, as always, to Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works for the cinematography. Kedaso Modisakeng is our executive producer, and you are always welcome. Thank you for all of the comments, for keeping the conversation going in the comment section, for sharing the clips, for liking, for subscribing, and for coming back every single week. We see you. We appreciate you. Until next week, have yourselves a great week, in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.